You're tuned to the Texas Standard on this Monday. Thanks for joining us. You've almost certainly heard about the dog days of summer, right? But do you know about canicula? Well, you probably do if you're from the Rio Grande Valley. Otherwise, we're thinking maybe not. It's a term you hear in the valley for the peak of summer heat, but it's not just a weather term. The canicula seeps into most every part of day-to-day life, which on the border includes immigrants trying to cross into the United States, of course. It's also something that Molly Hennessy Fisk has been considering in a recent piece for the Los Angeles Times, where she is a staff reporter based in Houston. Molly, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thanks for having me.
Canicula, canis, I'm thinking, maybe is the root of that word canicula. What does canicula actually mean?
So it comes from the tradition of calling it canicula comes from Canis, indeed, from the constellation, which includes the dog star Sirius and Canis Major. But traditionally, it has come to take on all sorts of other significance and has superstitions surrounding it associated with the intense heat, especially in South Texas.
So when you saw, we're saying dog star, not dog days, right? We're talking about some kind of astrophysical phenomena here.
That's right. That has to do with the time of year when it comes, because it's the 40 hottest days of the year, the 40 hottest days of the summer. So during the months of into July and August, although there are some people who say it extends even another week later beyond the 40 days. So it sort of depends on who you talk to.
I see. So but it seems to be bigger than a superstition, as you explain it in this piece for the LA Times. This seems to be a kind of unifying force almost among people along the Texas borderlands. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, so I spent the summer, like many summers, down on the border doing a lot of reporting about immigration. I also had lived down there for about a month. And everywhere I would go, it was not just a topic of conversation, but something you could use as kind of a conversation starter. So, you know, oh, the canicula is underway. Here's how much time we have until the end of the canicula. And almost everyone would have something to say about it, whether it was a customs agent on one of the border bridges or, you know, a waitress at Rancho Cafe or, you know, a DPS officer.
Well, what do you mean they have something to say? What is it that, how does this, what is the superstition essentially?
Well, some of it has to do with, like I said, the heat, so that you shouldn't have an operation or make major decisions, that you shouldn't let children go outside. You know, it's sort of common sense, but then it grows a little bit larger to include bigger things. And I think there's also another tradition that people keep an eye on, which is that if the canicula starts super hot, then it's going to end super hot. Or if it starts with rain, then it's going to end with rain. And so you have something to look forward to. This year, it started, as you might imagine, super hot. And so people knew they were in for a long haul.
And I guess this factors into immigration, because what, people trying to make it across some pretty arid territory in the heat of in the hottest heat of the summer. Is that the idea?
That's right. And the Rio Grande Valley right now and in recent years has been the top place for migrants to cross on the entire southern border with Mexico. So even just in the past week, we've had bodies that have been found by Border Patrol down along the river or on the ranches to the north of the river, and also people found in distress with heat exhaustion.
Does this change how people in the valley view immigrants trying to cross the border or the immigration issue more broadly, or not so much?
Well, I think it certainly puts people in more of a bind in terms of this question of whether you help people or not. And I had talked to some of the Border Patrol commanders about that and asked what a lot of neighbors had asked me, which was, can I offer people legally? Can I offer them water? Can I offer them food? And one of the commanders I talked to said, well, you know, you'd have to be inhuman not to offer somebody water. But, you know, then if you're offering someone a ride, then that's harboring. And so that's something different. Generally, the neighbors I talked to, a lot of them said they would offer water. Some were nervous because they said, you know, it used to be people just crossing from the other side of the river from the neighboring border towns in Mexico. And now it's people coming from, you know, countries further away. And we just don't know what people's intentions are. So they're kind of nervous about that. But a lot of people said they did help, especially when they would see, you know, people with small children who look like they're lost.
It's a fascinating facet of life along the border, the canicula. Molly Hennessy Fisk has been writing about it as a reporter for the Los Angeles Times. She's based in Houston. We'll have a link to it at texasstandard.org. Molly, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out to explain it to us here on the Texas Standard.
Thank you.
And you are listening to the Texas Standard.